Gospel of John is a beautiful gospel. For we get to see Jesus in all his glory from the beginning to the end. And as I plan out the series and try to break apart the chapters and what I think are kind of logical breakdowns, it seems like sometimes things fall into place. Today we're looking at Jesus is the bread of life. And this is the section in John where Jesus kind of refers to that. It's the I am statement of I am the bread of life, and he's the bread of that comes down from heaven. Jesus, when he gave himself for us, wanted to use this type of an analogy or illustration. He wants us to understand something very important about faith and life. So we're in John chapter 6, verses 22 through 40. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles, and we'll look at this. The context, and we had this from the previous couple of weeks, that Jesus was teaching the crowds, and there were some out there that were critical of him because he had healed on the Sabbath. And then he does a great miracle. He feeds 5,000 people. And through that, this encounter with the crowds and also with his disciples, he's teaching something about his heart, his compassion, about his ability, the power that he has to do that miracle, about the abundance. I mean, he feeds 5,000 people with very little resource, and there's still more left over. His identity as the true prophet, priest, and king, the three anointed offices that were there from the Old Testament. And he taught something about his lordship as he walked on the water. So now we come to verse 22. And it says, on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them. And I love this because it just shows Jesus knows the hearts of people. They ask a question, when did you come here? He's going to dig deeper. He always does that with people. Just digs deeper what's there in their hearts. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Well, this is the first of Jesus' I am statements that John has in his gospel. And it is an appropriate one to begin with, that he is the bread of life. People were coming to Jesus after he had fed the 5,000. They followed after him. For what reason did they come? Well, when they said to Jesus, "How did you get over here?" Jesus comes back with, really, what are you here for? You need to think about your reason for seeking after Jesus. So we come to look at the right reasons for seeking after Jesus. And we do this for the sake of ourselves, because we want to constantly be looking at our own faith, our hearts, and say, am I seeking Jesus? Am I seeking him for the right reasons? And then this is also instructive for us as we think about other people we know and people who are not seeking after Jesus or who are maybe starting to look at Jesus. Why are they seeking him? What are the right reasons? How can we help draw people to Jesus in the right way? So we seek Jesus for the right reason. The first reason of not, or first wrong way of seeking after Jesus would be to look at him as someone who is like this cosmic vending machine who just dispenses what we want and when we want it. And so we're encouraged to go to God with our prayers and to ask boldly, but we also go to God in our prayers asking God to shape our prayers. And so it isn't us dictating to God what he should give to us. So the people came to Jesus. He said to him, "Look, you came to me not because you saw signs, we'll come back to that, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." In other words, you're just seeking me because you want some more food. You think it's going to be easy if I just teach you and you can sit, you don't have to be out working, you just eat. Everything is fine. So a wrong reason for coming to Jesus is just looking at him as the one who provides stuff for us. It doesn't honor him. Now, Jesus said that, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs." Now, they did see the signs. They saw him do this miracle of feeding the 5,000. And in one sense, they saw it just as this great miracle that provided food for them, but also as something that was perhaps entertainment. We see something big and wonderful, and it entertains us. And Jesus is saying, you know, that's not a reason to come. But there is a sense that we come if we're seeking the true signs. And so Jesus does affirm that. You're coming to me not because of the sign that you saw, a genuine sign that really points to Jesus and his identity. See, if they would have been paying attention, they would have seen that Jesus was one who had compassion, the love of God. He had the ability, the power to do a miracle. And who can do that but God alone? And the incredible abundance that was there showed the abundance of God's love. So these people, as they were approaching Jesus, missed what the sign was really pointing to, and that was Jesus himself. We look at then the question that they pose, and it points towards a desire they have to do the right thing. What must we do to be doing the works of God? What must we do to do the right thing so that we're accepted by God? And that's the way a lot of people approach God, is we do things. And yes, we are called to be obedient in the right way through our faith. As they were approaching this, there are certain things they felt like they had to do. And we have to be very careful in the church, even today, not to create a culture that makes it look as though we have to do certain things and look a certain way in order to be accepted by God, and to somehow de-emphasize God's grace is what is important, God's power and His love. So their question, what must we do to be doing the works of God, is an important one. And he answers them in this way. This is the right way to seek God, right way to seek Jesus. It says, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He, God, has sent. So we seek Jesus for the right reason. And the right reason is to believe in Him, the one that God sent, the genuine one. For on Him, God had set His seal to show that this is my Son. He is the genuine article. So we seek Jesus for the right reason, and that is to believe in Him. Not in the stuff that He could give us, not because of miracles that He could do that entertain us. We come to worship, talked about this, to worship Him, to seek Jesus, not because we want to be entertained by music or by a message, but we come to hear truth. We come to look at God's Word. We come to see how that Word points to Jesus so that we can seek Him in the right way. So we come with this genuine desire to be doing the work of God, which is to believe in Jesus, the one whom God sent. So how do we, now, as we believe in Jesus, that word believe also means to have faith or to trust. It's not just an intellectual belief. I acknowledge this. It is an ongoing trust that then produces in our life a change in the things that we do. So how do we trust in Jesus in the right way? Well, we begin with looking at some wrong ways that the people here had. When Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom God has sent, they respond back with, well, then what sign do you do? What sign do you do? You know, I mean, we keep looking at Jesus. Trusting in Jesus is not saying, Jesus, prove yourself again and again and again. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We come before God with our prayers and we feel as though they're not being answered. And rather than saying, God, then what are you doing in the midst of this? Sometimes we say, prove yourself. If you really are there, God, then act. Do this. And not just us, but those who don't believe in God will say, if God would just do this great miracle, just show a sign, prove Himself, I'll believe. You know, that is just a dead end, really. Because what happens is we expect God to prove Himself again and again and again. And God has proven Himself to us again and again and again. Let's go back to when God gave the manna to His people in the wilderness, the passage that Joyce read, and that they're going to be talking about here. See, when God gave that to them, it was because they were grumbling. They had already seen God do great things. He parted the Red Sea, delivered His people. And now they want something more from God. God, you don't care about us. And so God gives another miracle. And they continued to grumble. Every time they met adversity, it was calling out for God to do another great miracle. That's human nature. And we can easily get sucked into that as well. A need for constant proof from God when God has given to us his proof once for all. And the greatest proof is his son Jesus, sending his son to die on the cross for us. So that is not the right way to trust, is to come back to God again and again saying, prove yourself. It's not trusting in the things that God gives, again, that merely point to Jesus, because when they say, what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus replies, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So Jesus is saying that even when you're looking at that miracle about the manna, and you are trusting in what God did in the past of giving that, it is really something that points forward to the true bread of heaven that the Father gives. We look at all of Scripture. Remember, Jesus said earlier in John that you search the Scripture, saying to his critics, because you think in them is life, but it is they that speak about me. Everything there in the Old Testament somehow is pointing towards Jesus. Pointing towards Jesus. And this bread from heaven, this manna. And the word manna, interesting Hebrew word, just simply means, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. And so God gave them this, what is it, to eat, and it nourished them. But to trust in that alone is to miss the point of the true bread from heaven, which is Jesus. So to trust in Jesus in the right way is to believe that Jesus is the bread that comes down from heaven. He's the bread of life. True life is found in him alone. Not in what Jesus can give other things to us, but in the reality of Jesus himself. And so believe he is the bread of life that is given by the Father. And believe, have faith, trust daily that he gives life to us. Now he's going to give us the things that we need. Give us this day our daily bread. It's what he taught his disciples to pray. He will give us what we need. And notice the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, ties into the giving of the manna. They gathered the manna. It was enough for one day to eat. And then it just sort of faded away. And so we look to Jesus as the one who does provide for us, but he is the life of the world. In him alone is true life. So we trust in him, seeking the true life that he offers. So in sharing Jesus with others, for those that perhaps are seeking to know who he is, it's calling upon them to look to Jesus and not to the things that he gives, but to see Jesus himself as the bread of life. Jesus gives us some great words in here that provide us hope, that give us assurance. And he says in here that we have some people who, again, are looking for life, but not necessarily in Jesus. He says, you have seen me, yet you do not believe. And he's saying to them, by seeing him, beholding him, and not believing, they're missing out on something. And what they're missing out on is the true bread of heaven that quenches spiritual thirst and hunger. So when people are seeking after God and they're not seeing Jesus, they're missing out on the very spiritual nourishment that gives life and that gives us life. So we want to look to Jesus to find our spiritual nourishment each and every day, but we call other people to really look to Jesus, who he is, what he has done, his very nature of being God, and to see that only in him is our spiritual quest, does it find its fulfillment, and we can be at rest. And to not believe in Jesus, then, is to, if we're not being spiritually nourished in the fullest sense, it's to not have the fullness of hope, the assurance of salvation. Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." It's an amazing statement. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. As Jesus seeks to do the will of the Father, it is to lose nothing of what the Father has given to him. And the Father has given to him all things. We're included in that. When we believe in Jesus, it then shows that the Father has given us to Jesus. An ongoing faith is a demonstration that we are his. But we are his not because of what we have done. Remember when they asked, what must we be doing to do the work of God? Jesus comes back and says, doing the work of God is this: believe in the one whom God has sent. Believe in Jesus. Trust in him. And so when we trust in Jesus, we're relying upon him, who he is, not ourselves. And we acknowledge that it is the Father who has been at work and gave us to Jesus. Have you thought of yourselves as a gift to Jesus from the Father? And an entrustment. So that Jesus said that he will lose nothing that the Father has given. He says that he will raise it up on the last day, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus seals our salvation, eternal life, our resurrection at the end. It is the work of Jesus. It is the gift of the Father to Jesus. That's assurance for us. It doesn't rest in the things that we do. It rests in what God does. And that's grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given your Son, the bread of heaven, the bread of life for us. And we thank you that you have given to Jesus us, that we might glory in your grace, that we might see that our salvation is not of us, but of you. Lord, help us to feel that assurance, to look to you always. And help us to share with others this glorious truth about Jesus, that they might see him, behold him for the right reasons, trust in Jesus in the right way, and have full assurance of eternal life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.